You know, we want to say again, for those of you who maybe joined us late, a happy Mother's Day. It's a day where the Bible says that to give honor where honor is due. And so therefore, we want to honor the moms. You know, I was reading a stat this morning, and it sort of shook me a little bit. And that is that, you know, Mother's Day, they figure that there's going to be $23 billion spent on Mother's Day. $23 billion being spent on Mother's Day. Father's Day will be 12. I don't know what this is all about. I don't know what's going on here, but less or just about half on Father's Day. But that's all right. That's all right. We're here to honor mothers today. So you ladies, enjoy the partial part of $23 billion being sown into your lives today. And we're just so thankful for mothers this morning. You know, we hope that all the mothers of Rock Solid Church, we pray that you all receive the gift that the ladies put together for you here. I know they were delivering them by hand, mailing them out. And we pray that you received your letter from us today. Excuse me, or by today anyway. You know, there's a story of a young girl who wrote about her experience with her mom. The one girl wrote, she said, her mother had just finished taking CPR classes at the local college. And the next day, they decided to take a ride, and they went to a mall. And then as her and her mother were walking down through the mall, they saw a group of people all gathered around in a circle and one person laying on the ground. And so the mother took off. She said, I saw my mother take off running with a speed I didn't know she had. And my mother, when she got close, she said, get out of the way, I know CPR. And she slid in on her knees into the midst of the group of people with this person laying on the ground. And as she went to start to administer CPR, two strong hands grabbed her by the arms and pulled her off. And they said, ma'am, it's okay. We're just trying to arrest this person. And so the daughter was a little bit mortified, but she never forgot that experience with her mother. So for all of you mothers that go rushing in because you know CPR, thank you very much. And, you know, so many times we have these experiences that we chuckle about and we laugh about, and we thank God for the moms that are rushing in or willing to when others are standing around. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to open up to Romans chapter 16, and we're going to spend a little bit of time there. For you moms, we're going to talk about some other moms in the Scriptures, but we're going to focus on a couple of them this morning. And if you have, we're going to start in verses 1 through 6. And the Scripture says that I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church, which is in Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you. For she herself has also been a helper of many, and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risked their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Also greet the church that is in their house. Greet Epaphras, my beloved, who is the first convert to Christ from Asia. And greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the way that your word renews, strengthens, and changes us. Thank you, Father, for giving us a worldview that comes through your word this morning, that everything that we are is in agreement with your word. And all that we put our hands to is to extend your word to those that haven't heard. All that we acquire is for the usefulness of expanding the kingdom. And Lord, that our whole hearts would just be completely engrossed in doing what you desire. Father, that our hearts are mended by the power of your great love. That our hearts are made new, they're strengthened in the name of Jesus. And all the areas that had damage, Father, you're healing each part one day at a time. And Father, the faster or the more that we pour ourselves into your word and agree with your word, the quicker our healing comes and the greater our strength becomes in order to transform other people's lives. by your wonderful love. Thank you, Father. Thank you for changing us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And you know, there was a another mother and a five-year-old. They were taking a walk, walking down the road. And the five-year-old found a piece of candy on the ground and picked it up and put it in her mouth, like so many of them have done. And the mother said, "No, no, no, take that, give me that." And she took it out of her mouth and put it down. And the daughter said, "Mom, you know, why would you do that? Why'd you take it from me?" She said, "Because it's been on the ground, and I don't know where it's been. It's dirty, and it's got germs." At this point, the daughter looked at me with an absolute admiration and asked, "Mom, how do you know all this stuff? You're so smart." The mother thought quickly and replied, "All moms know this stuff. It's on the mom test. You know, or you have to know it, or else they don't let you become a mom." They walked along a little bit longer, and the daughter didn't say anything, just pondering it. And finally, she said, "Oh, I get it." She beamed to her mother. "So if you don't pass the test, you have to become a dad." And the mother said, "I agree, exactly." So this morning, for all of you mothers that passed the mom test, we're so grateful for you. And for all the time and the effort that you put in. They say that by the time a child reaches 18 years old, that a mother has had to handle some extra 18,000 hours of child-generated work. In fact, women who have never had children enjoy the equivalent of an extra 3 months of a year of leisure time. 3 months a year of leisure time compared to raising children. So for those of you who do not have children, now maybe, you know, you want children, you haven't had them, there's still 3 extra months a year to be serving the Lord, no matter what it is. And we'll be praying for the open womb. For those of you who do have children, we're very grateful, because not only do you take care of your children, extra 18,000 a year, but in serving God in the different areas and the ways that you do in giving yourself, we're so thankful. And you know, one of the things that I missed this year, which I get to experience every year. You know, I always, during Mother's Day, when we look around and we look at the house filled with people, and now today it's your houses filled with people, but whenever I look around, I always look around and I see the mothers, and I watch, and the mothers have their hands in the air. Some of them are just weeping with thankfulness to God. Some are just singing with all that they have. And it just strengthens and encourages me, because, you know, even when things didn't go their way, they were still lifting their hands in the air. Even when everything hasn't been accomplished that they've been crying out for, the mom's just throwing her hands in the air. Some of them on their knees crying out to God. Even when some of the memories bring pain or loss in their lives, and yet we stand here with all the moms and their hands are in the air, agreeing with God that what they're crying out for will come to pass. And it's just one of the things that I miss this year with everybody not being here with us. We love you. We appreciate you. And I just want you to know you're missed more than you realize this morning. So thanks, Mom, for standing in the presence of the Father, no matter what it looked like, even till today. Thanks for standing. Thanks for not being moved, you know. And obviously, I'm here today because of a praying mama. And so I just want to say thanks, Mom, for never giving up, never stopping praying. You know, some today it might be an amazing memory like I have of an incredible mom. Maybe you've lost your mom, or maybe you didn't know your mom, or maybe it was painful. And so we don't want to, you know, we don't want to forget about those aspects either, and knowing that you're on our hearts and we're lifting it up. But regardless of what you experienced, it doesn't mean that that's your future. And so one of the things that we have to agree with, as I was praying earlier, is going back to what the Word of God says a mother is, what the Word of God says who you are as an individual. And each and every lady that's represented, the young girls, listen, young girls that are in the church, I want to encourage you. Choose wisely. Choose wisely who you're going to marry one day. Choose wisely. Make sure that he does and know the Lord. Don't be unequally yoked. Choose wisely. For life is incredible when we stand upon the word of God and when we live according to the word of God. And there's enough trials and tribulations without trying to bring extra ones in. All right? So choose wisely, ladies. Because thank God for the word of God, that no matter what your beginning is, it's not your end. And what God has begun, he who began a good work in you is able to complete it. And as we look at other women in the Bible, we know that they didn't all do it right. So we're all, you ladies, you're all in the same group. Just like all the guys are in the same group, we hear about it. Seems like the failures of man so many times when they got distracted. But there's women who have made mistakes, whether it was Eve being deceived. That's sort of a pretty big one. We'll just throw that out there, all right? Rebecca told her son, deceive your father, right? Here, let's put the goat hair on your hands and stuff. Let's deceive your father. So she, you know, some like Jochebed, she broke the law to save her son. And she said, oh, no, you're not taking him. He's good looking. And she put him in a basket and she put him out there in the reeds, and God used that. Sarah, when God's promises were spoken about her having a child in her old age, she laughed at God. And then she lied and said, no, I didn't laugh at you. It's a little bit difficult, I have found in my own personal life, and I'm sure you have too. It's a little difficult that when God says, you did this, to try to convince him that he didn't know your heart or really what you were doing. And so here's Sarah. She says, no, that wasn't, I didn't laugh at it. And she has, and Hannah, she was barren for a season. And then some were rejected, like Hagar was rejected. She did what she was asked to do. But then after a while, she was rejected for it. So no matter what phase you came prayerfully into Christ through, no matter what's happened, we're all in the same boat. And some have made mistakes, and some things were perpetrated upon us, not with nothing to do with us. As we see in Hagar, when she was cast out and told to leave with her son. And so I want to make sure that we understand this morning that every woman here is in the same boat. Every mom is, every daughter is, every mother-in-law, every grandmother, that we realize nobody has done it all just right. Abraham's wife, she went along with Sarah. She went along to lie wherever they went, said, I'm your sister. So they have made mistakes. We're all in this together. We all have an opportunity now to take our experiences and then surrender them to the Word of God so that our future lines up with the Word of God. And therefore, what our past is doesn't necessarily dictate what our future is going to be. But there's one thing that's going to happen is we're going to have to let go of our yesterdays. And sometimes it takes a little while. You know, moms do certain things, and they sometimes a thought sticks in your mind for quite a while. And I know I've shared it before, but when I joined the military, after basic training and tech school, they sent me to Guam. And so you pack your sea bag, that's all you're allowed to bring is one bag, and we go to Guam, and I didn't even know where Guam was. So I get there, my roommate comes in, and several other guys heard that I was the new guy that just arrived, and so I start unpacking my clothes. We're sitting there talking, and where are you from, and going over, rehashing through all of it, and talking about, what kind of sports you like, and that kind of thing. And as I'm unpacking my clothes, I pull it out. My mother had packed a green tutu in my sea bag, which I opened up and pulled out in front of all the moms. Can I just encourage you? Don't do that to your sons if they're going in the military, all right? You don't want to be the guy pulling out a green tutu in front of a bunch of people. The first time you ever meet them, that's the first impression that they have of me. Not my mom, of me. And even though I tried to explain it to them, they all had questions with a raised eyebrow, looking at me a little bit strange. And so to this day, as you can tell, I still have things that I'm working through that mothers have done to their children. All right? But I'm working on it. I'm getting there. some of the mothers, I know it's usually taken in a negative light, but I think about the mother of James and John at the end of the time when Jesus is getting ready to be offered up. And she goes and she asks Jesus, you know, can my sons sit at your right hand and on your left? And we realize why she's doing it. She's trying, but here's the heart of a mother, and she's going to do anything she can to promote her sons. And I was thinking about just the boldness to ask Jesus. How beautiful is that? How powerful is that? That even the Son of God, that a mother won't ask a question so that her sons would have a place next to him or the most prominent places in her mind. And then I love how the way she trains James and John, how she trained them, her and her husband, as they, she said, woman, or Jesus said, woman, you don't have a clue what you're asking. Can they drink the cup that I'm about to drink? And what's her son say? Oh, yeah, we can. I love that part of it. There was no doubt in their mind. This is Jesus they're talking to. They're thinking about the right and the left, and we understand the aspect of that. But their thoughts were, now being known as the sons of thunder, that gives us a hint also, but their thoughts were, oh, yeah, we can drink from the same cup as you. We'll be there with you, Jesus. We'll walk it all the way through. No matter what comes, we're going to be standing with you. You give us the seat on the right and the left. We'll walk through anything with you. And so we, you know, we see that even in this aspect of it, where it's got a negative connotation of, you know, our pride, still the audacity of a mom to look at Jesus and ask for something so far beyond what she understood and realizing what she was asking. But I want to encourage you moms that are out there, ask for crazy things. Don't hesitate to come before the Lord and to speak to him and to ask. The Bible says you receive what you ask. And look at Jesus isn't intimidated by any of the questions that you bring. He's not intimidated, and he helps correct us. He helps bring us to a place and let us see our faults or our weaknesses in the midst of the questions we ask. So let's ask him questions that line up with his word. This morning, you know, we love every part of that aspect of it, you know, and another mother, she had to run down to Egypt and hide her son because they were going to kill him, leaving in the middle of the night with her and her husband, and obviously that was Mary taking the Son of God and going down into Egypt to get away so that he wouldn't be murdered. There's all kinds of things that women have done all through the scriptures in order to either sustain, walk through, whether it's mistakes, whether it's, you know, trying to get their children to a place of success. And today we want to thank the moms again for standing in there on the word of God, even in the midst of all of your children's failures, and not stopping believing for the best for each one of them, for not giving up, not laying down, not quitting, not turning away and saying, well, forget about it. And again, it's one of the things that I missed this morning. Will you throw in your hands in the air? And even though all your children aren't walking with him in the way they're supposed to, you're still believing God, standing on the promises of God, agreeing with God's word, worshiping the one who can move on the hearts of every child, not only your personal children, but all of those in the neighborhood that are around you. And so as we go back to Romans in chapter 16 this morning, I want to read verses 1 and 2 again. And in verse 1 and 2 it says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you. For she herself has also been a helper of many, and of myself as well. So a few things that we look at. We know that Phoebe, it means radiant. The name Phoebe, it means radiant. And, you know, Phoebe is a one that is unmarried according to the scriptures. And as she's walking through this, the first thing it says, who is a servant of the church. And that word servant is where we get diaconim from, or a deaconess. And so because of the way that she served, Paul noticed her. They were great friends of Paul. They traveled with Paul. As a matter of fact, when they were traveling, Paul, he left them in Ephesus, and he kept going on his missionary journey, and they started a church, and it became a home church. But they were servants, it says, of the church. Servants of the body of Christ, the ecclesia, or the church, the beginning. Servants of, back then, called the way. The way that a person is supposed to live. And so we see here Phoebe, she's mentioned here, Paul mentions her. And he speaks about the goodness or the qualities that she has and where he wants to put her. But I love the first qualification. He just said, who is a servant of the ecclesia, the servant of the church, the one who gives herself. And again, she's unmarried as far as the scripture goes, you know, which is at Cenchrea, the church there. So here she is. She's come to know Jesus Christ, and she just starts to give herself to what God's called her to. And in verse 2, Paul asks this of her now. He's saying that you receive her in the Lord. He's telling everybody there, look, it, you need to receive her. This is a woman of quality because she has given herself as a servant to the church. She's obviously given herself to the word of God. She's given herself to prayer. She's given herself to worship. And he's saying, you need to receive her. These are some powerful words that we see in the scriptures. And it says, in a manner worthy of the saints. Oh, thank God that we've gone from sinners to saints. Amen. And thank God that we have come out of darkness into his marvelous light. Thank God that we're not looking at all of our failures, as we mentioned earlier with some of the men and women of God in the scriptures. But he said, listen, I want you to receive her in a manner worthy of the saints. I want you to make sure that when she comes in, you esteem her. I want you to make sure that when you see her coming in, when she comes into the home, when she comes into the meeting, that you greet her in a way that's worthy. You make sure that she's taken care of. And he goes on to say, and that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you. Isn't that incredible? Here's Paul telling everybody there, say, look, you need to help her, whatever she needs. Why? Because Paul knows that she's given herself to the church. Paul knows she's not trying to just gather for herself. Paul knows that she's not just sitting home expecting everybody else to serve her. Paul sees here, or we see from the scriptures, Paul knows her heart in this. And he's saying, look, treat her in a way that's worthy of the saints. She's a servant of the church. And make sure whatever she has need of, find a way to get it to her. Because I know that what she's going to use it for is going to expand the kingdom of God. I know that what she's going to use it for, it's going to be one that helps change people's lives because the way that she has given her life. And then it says, for she herself has also been a helper of many and of myself as well. She's a helper of many. Excuse me. And as we, looking at that word helper, it's a Greek word, and it's prostatus. And it's translated helper, but it's better translated, some say, as patroness. And it's a title of a citizen in Athens who took charge of the interests of clients and persons without civic rights. Now, they've already been run out of Rome, and we know that. And now, here we see where she comes in. She's a patroness. She's gathering people that have no civic rights. Ah, what an amazing God we have. We have a God who leads people in such a way that they don't care where people come from. They don't care what their status is. And when they lose their rights, then they still open up their house and they bring them in. They still open up their house and they start to train and equip. They still open up their house and they take from the kingdom of God and they pour it into those that have no civic rights, that have no authority. You know, many of the early Christian communities had an appearance of clients under the patron aspect of it, where they used all that they had to bring people in, to train, to equip, to become a helper of those. You know, and we can look in our own history here. Just one pops into my mind, like a Miss Harriet Tubman, who, when they had no rights, she not only opened up her house, those who had no right, and she took them in, and then she hid them and also helped them in the Underground Railroad. And so there's many that God has used in this way in order to change people's lives. And I love thinking about this. And so, you know, as we look at Phoebe's life, for those of you that are single, those of you that don't have a husband, and I know most young girls are looking out at that, and when they were six, we're told that they start planning their wedding day and all of that. But whether you're single or whether you're married, we see in the scriptures that God has got a place for the women of God in the scriptures in order to change the whole world by the power of their faithfulness in the scriptures and in the King and through their surrender. But she was also not only a helper of those that had no civic authority or no civic rights and bring them into her home and help them out, she was also a helper of Paul. So she came alongside of Paul. She helped strengthen. She served him in what God had called him to do. And therefore, ladies, don't sell yourselves short, please, because your influence is able to change the world. She served Paul, and in serving Paul, she served the whole world. And as we've said many times, everything that Paul wrote is changing people's lives even today. And Phoebe is spoken of very highly, that she's to be treated in a manner worthy of the saints, worthy of those who have been accepted or who have transformed or been transformed by the power of God's great love. And then I want to turn down to Romans chapter 16 and verses 3 and 4 and talk about Priscilla. It says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, whom for my life risked their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." And I don't know if you want to name a young child Priscilla because it means ancient. And so from a very young age, you call your child ancient. Maybe they grow gray a little bit earlier. I don't know how that works. But her name means ancient. And the first thing that we see about her, again, she's a fellow worker or a servant of Paul. She's someone that has come alongside, and we see in the scriptures many times where her name is mentioned before her husband, which is sort of unusual in the scriptures. But they say that by the writings, it would seem that she was a little bit more outgoing. She was a little bit more of the driver in that relationship because of the way that her name is mentioned. And the scripture, the next thing after, we find out again, she's a fellow worker or a servant in the household of God. She's a deaconess there. She's one that is giving her life completely to the cause of Christ. And then it says that she risked her own neck. They took their lives and they were willing to die for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, ladies, we're talking about these things today. For those, whether it's single and now it's Mother's Day, for those that are married, this is a woman that came and said, "I'm willing to serve the gospel alongside of my husband. We're going to serve Paul in what God's called him to do. We're going to serve in the ministry, whatever it is, even to the death, even to risk our own necks for one purpose, and that is that God would be glorified in everything that we do." Scripture says that they were tent makers. Some say it doesn't seem, some of the theologians say it was probably more like leather workers from where they were, because there wouldn't have been a great need for tents at that time. But regardless of what it was that they were doing, we'll stick with what the scripture says, that it was tent makers. And so they worked alongside of Paul, not only in the church, but they worked alongside of him in the natural. And they sat down and they put their hands to the natural everyday workings in order for them to sustain the work of God wherever they went. In Acts 18:18-26, it says that Priscilla here, you know, we see that she works with Paul. We see that she's serving Paul. We see that she's serving with her hands. We know that she has got a little bit in her tank. She's a little bit out front, that she is not afraid to get things done. She is not afraid to speak up. And then in Acts chapter 18 and verse 18 to 26, Priscilla, we see that she starts to instruct Apollos, who's an influential scholar. And now we know that in the beginning, Apollos, he was only speaking on the baptism of John, because that's all that they knew. And I love how the scripture says, and then Priscilla took him in and started teaching, or Priscilla and Aquila took him in, and they started teaching him more according to the way. They are a better way. They started teaching him about Jesus Christ and about the future and about the spiritual side of things in another way. And so help preparing him. And as we see in the scriptures, Apollos was an amazing orator. We see that he was a man of authority. We see that he wasn't ashamed. And now here they are. Here's Priscilla. She hears him speaking and says, this boy's got something. This old boy's got something. Ladies, I want to encourage you. Look around to those that are even outside of your home. Look around. Pay attention to those who have the Spirit of God upon them. And then listen to what God would call you to do. Listen, even at a young age, that some others from outside of your house you would bring alongside of you and start to disciple them. It didn't matter whether they're men of renown, whether they were great orators and very learned men, or whether they were young men. We learned this in Timothy with his grandmother and his mother, training him and preparing him, another one that Paul would use. But I want to really have you take a look around you to see. They say that saying is that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And that's true because of the training and the equipping. But it doesn't stop when they turn 18 and leave the house. Because here we see Priscilla saw a man who was learned, who was accomplished, who was orating. He wasn't intimidated by what people thought because he was arguing the scriptures in front of the Jews. And she said, hey, come on into my house. Come here. We need to sit and talk because I need to train you. You're missing something here. So ladies, if you've been in Christ and you've been walking, there's others that are out there. Don't be intimidated by who they are or what they do, but do what God puts on your heart. When God says, hey, that's the one I want you to invite in. That's the one I want you to open up your home. That's the one I want you to teach and to train. That's the one I want you to take a chance on. Because they didn't know if he would receive them or not. But they simply asked, and they said, here, come on, come into our house. And they sat, and they fed him, and they spent time in prayer, I'm sure. They spent time in the Word, and they helped strengthen him to preach a more sure way or a more complete gospel as he left there. Now, some say he might have written Hebrews, nobody knows, and there's not enough evidence there, but he may have written the book of Hebrews, and yet it was possibly Priscilla and Aquila that turned him into from one direction to another. He was preaching on the baptism of John. He had that part down. But then they took him into the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. And he started growing a little bit stronger, and he started preaching a little bit different. And therefore, his influence started to grow even more. And so no matter who comes along, ladies, I want to make sure that as a mother, you have aspects that are inside of you. God's word that has been transforming and changing you, there's a strength inside of you. And I'm reminded of when our five ladies did the teaching last Wednesday, how powerful it was that each one came from a perspective, adding one and then another and then another. The mothers that we have in this house, I'm so grateful for, because they are training young men and women in their own homes and in reaching out to those outside the house. And now that we get to put it out on the internet also, their words are speaking to people's hearts, possibly around the world in different areas. And someone's life was changed simply by them sharing what God had spoke to them in a moment, in one aspect of it. And so please make sure that our homes are a place not only for our children, but our homes are a place for those that God calls. God had a call on Apollos' life, and God's got a call on your children's lives. God's got a call on many more that you're going to meet that we won't have an opportunity to find or to greet. You know, she explained a way of a more of God more accurately, it says. And then he went down to Achaia, and he greatly helped those who believed through grace, the scripture says. So after meeting with Priscilla and Aquila, after being trained and equipped there, now he leaves and he trains them in God's grace. And we see what probably was taught, what probably was strengthened in his life. And so this morning, you know, all of our mothers, you have great influence. And we have, and as we have seen, they change the world around them, and they, as they allow the Word of God to lead and to guide. And this morning, you know, on Mother's Day, thinking about the Word of God mostly, but I keep going back to that thought, $20 billion being spent on Mother's Day. I don't know, I just, I had to think about that again for a minute. I know I'm part of that, and that influx of, that infusion of cash into Mother's Day. But speaking about the Word of God and the influence that you have and the authority that you have, where great leaders have been formed and fashioned and molded by the hands of moms around the world. And as we walk through this, the scripture is a guide. And ladies, you cannot look at your life and say, listen, for I'm not qualified, or I'm outside because maybe I made a mistake. Maybe my child went awry. Maybe something else happened in our lives. And we brought up several instances where all kinds of crazy things happen in women's lives through the scriptures. And listen, sorrow is one of them also. There's sorrow all through the scripture where mothers losing their children, their sons and daughters. I think about Joseph's mom and how she had, what she must have gone through thinking that her son had been ripped apart by animals and nothing but his tunic came back full of blood. How would that affect your life? And yet they kept pressing on and purposing on in their lives, following God. So whether it's, if you've got sorrow in your life and you say, well, I can't put myself out there again. I want you to know that your God is a God that heals the hearts. He's a God that makes whole those that things that are broken, or it seems like there's a giant cavity in the heart that can't be filled from a loss, from something that's missing. And I want you to know he is one that heals the broken heart, the scripture says. So no matter what your history was, no matter what you came through, like we said, maybe your mom wasn't there. Maybe your mom wasn't the nicest person in the world. Maybe your mom didn't know Jesus Christ, but from here on out, that's not who we are. That's not who you women are. You're those who the scripture says, you're those that are to be a fellow worker in the kingdom of God. And we're so thankful for the power that you have. You're those that are to be treated along with the fellow saints, to be workers in the kingdom of God, or building into the ecclesia, the very body of Christ, to take our lives, each and every one of us, not just the mothers, obviously, but to spend them. I'm so thankful, not only for my mom, but for my mother-in-law. What an amazing woman she is, obviously, as she's with the Lord. But what she created in my wife, and the standard of living and love that they built in, and the grace and the mercy that they built into my wife, who now is training our children to do the things of God. And no matter what it looks like or how she feels, she doesn't stop proclaiming the Word of God. She doesn't stop praying and believing and standing on the promises of God and agreeing for each of our children and now our grandchildren at each one of them. And so I want to say thank you to my wife for being an amazing mom to our children and an amazing wife to me. And I can't look at her right now because then I'll start crying. So I'm not looking at you, honey, for that reason, all right? But today, as we have seen in the scriptures, I want to encourage every lady out there, no matter what you started out as, I want you to know there's still time and there's people around you that you can influence for the kingdom of God, that their influence is going to go on and on and on and on. And you're never going to see the end of what you impart into them. You're never going to see the acts of kindness, the Word of God, the time of prayer, the love and mercy, a mama's hug. These things build into people's lives. And as you ladies have done that, we have watched the world become changed forever. And so today, as we again say Happy Mother's Day, I want to pray for you ladies and thank you, obviously, first and foremost. I thank God for the Phoebes. I thank God for the Priscillas who have gone on before to show that no matter where they started, it's when God grabs a hold of someone, they can influence some of the greatest men that ever walked on the face of this planet. And as Priscilla has influenced, whether it was Paul, Phoebe influencing Paul with that love, that place that he could come. And some of them say these women, they really changed the way that Paul started to speak, coming from a Pharisaical way of thinking that women were second class almost, that they really didn't have a portion in the scriptures or in the authority of God, and that these women changed the way that he saw certain things. And so, ladies, you're going to change people's lives if you'll agree with the word of God. You're going to change them for the good. You're going to change them in strengthening them. You're going to change them so that maybe they've got a piece of it, and you can take them just a little bit farther, like we see with Priscilla and Apollos. You can bring them to a place where they can see a little bit more sure part of the word of God. It's an aspect where, you know, especially right now, thinking about where many of the moms are home now, whether they're laid off or whether their jobs are, the factories have shut down. And then, of course, the government blessed you with being with your children and learning how to homeschool. In a couple of days, you've had to try to figure it out, never being a part of that possibly before. But I want you to know this morning, you can do it. And what you're building into your children now is very valuable. This time and this season that you're spending, maybe you're watching your grandchildren, I don't know. But this time and this season that you're building into them, please don't look at it like you can't wait till this is over. This is an incredible moment in our lives, and we've been talking about building in the moment, building for the moment. Ladies, this is an incredible moment that God has you in. And so if you look at each day as I get to mold and I get to shape, no different than Priscilla, no different than Phoebe, no different than Sarah, no different than all of these other great women of the Bible the Scripture teaches us about, I have a moment to pour into my sons and into my daughters. And I'm preparing them for some of the greatest things that God is going to do in these end times, a harvest like the world has never seen. Some, in whatever gifting, I should say, whatever gifting God has for them, he's preparing them right now through you. So as you look at this time and you look into their eyes, and maybe you're overwhelmed by the math that usually starts around fourth grade, where we start with the math all of a sudden. Wait a minute, how do we get here? And so by 8th and 9th and 10th and 11th grade, when you might feel overwhelmed, you might feel closed in at this moment, you might feel like, oh, I can't wait to get through this, but please, take the time. And as Priscilla and Aquila, you know, as they risk their own lives, not only to give thanks, but also to build the church. You're building the church. Can I encourage you that before you start school, spend some time in prayer with those kids. Spend some time in the Word with them. Before they go to bed, spend some time in prayer with them again. Have them read the Word of God before they go to bed. And take this time to train and equip. Phoebe was a servant of the church, and God gave her a great place of honor, as she's mentioned in the scriptures, for every one of us to glean from. Priscilla is mentioned in the scriptures, again, to glean from the way that they lived their lives, taking them aside, the ones that had no civic rights, bringing him into their house. Priscilla and Aquila opening up their house and making it a church, having church in their house. The sky is the limit on what God can do through a woman, through men that surrender their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. So with that, you know, in this time, please, I encourage you, as the scripture says, train up a child in the way that he should go. For those that are in the house sitting next to your moms today, I pray that you're one of the ones that are building into it. As Kristen said this morning, today is a day where everyone just says yes. Whatever mom wants, you say yes. Whatever it is that she requires, your only answer today, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, is yes. And so it's her day. Put them slippers on her when she comes in. Take the fan and fan her. Feed her the grapes. Give her the day where whatever. And well, I don't know. Maybe you'll even get half to watch like a Hallmark movie or something. That's a struggle. That one is a struggle, I just got to say this morning. Pastor Romano's over here giving me a gesture that I can't do on camera when it comes to Hallmark movies. But I want to encourage all of you sitting next to your mom, grab a hold of them. If they're there, if they're not near you, call them. If they've already gone on to be with the Lord, then just pray and thank God for them. But build each one of them up today and thank them for being a part of your lives. And maybe some of you just have to forgive your mom. We want to take this day to make that a day also for your own freedom. Because when you forgive, you set yourself free. So whatever it is, ladies and gentlemen, today we want to make sure that the women in our house, the moms in our houses, that we lift them up today and remind them also of what God has done through those who have said, I believe the word of God, rather over my experience. I believe the word of God over all of my other thoughts. And I believe that God can do through me what his word says to change men and women's lives for all of eternity. So this morning, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, that as we see in the case of Phoebe, oh, what a servant's heart. We see her open up her home. We see the honor that you gave her because she had one thought, one focus, one purpose, Christ and him crucified. Father, right now I thank you, Lord, that when we come to you and we ask for forgiveness, you forgive us instantly. Lord, I thank you that as we ask for your hand to come into our lives and to mold and to shape our hearts, to heal them, Father, that you start putting the hearts back together. For those who have lost loved ones, Father, you said that you're the comforter and you send the Holy Spirit to comfort each and every one. Holy Spirit, touch every mother right now in the name of Jesus. Touch them with your love and your mercy. Touch them with that healing power. Comfort them for those that have lost. Holy Spirit, I thank you that as you remind them of the word of God, that he's still able. He's still able. He's still able to accomplish that which he's begun in each and every one of us. And Father, today we pray your blessing upon every mom. Lord, that their only thought would be that I'm loved by the church, that the church reveres us and honors us and loves us and lifts us up and builds us, strengthens us, comes alongside of us so that we go and accomplish all that God has created us for. Father, we agree that every time our moms lay their hands on someone and pray according to the word of God, that there's an infusion from the throne room of God that changes a young man or a young woman's heart, that heals a hurt, and that strengthens a gift, that renews a mind, and that prepares for one purpose, the kingdom to be expanded. Today, Father, we pray that your love would fill every house. Today, we pray that every word that comes out of our mouths would be a remembrance or a reminder of the input that has been given into each of our lives. The faithfulness of moms, the love of moms, the encouragement of moms, the craziness of moms, all of it, Lord, we're very grateful this morning. We say thank you, thank you, thank you for allowing our moms to help train, equip, strengthen and build each one of us. And we're stronger because of it. And we give you, Lord, all the glory for your plan, all the glory for the way that you knew what was coming before the very beginning and what we all needed. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.